Well, good morning and welcome for the final hour of our get-together. We affectionately call the 9 o'clock stretch. Stretch it out. It is 9:07. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. And you know, some of your top stories, President Trump giving a stirring speech last night, making some big promises. We'll dig into that in a little bit. And, of course, the price of oil is surging again. Details on that coming up. But first, we're going to talk to Captain Chris Sims. He's the public information officer for Alachua County Sheriff's Office. And Captain Sims, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
It is always a pleasure to speak with you. I have no complaints. I'm doing well. One of the big topics that everybody's been talking about are these cameras, flock cameras, and other names that they go by. I guess, first of all, what's the official policy coming out of Alachua County Sheriff's Office? And then some thoughts about these cameras as tools.
Absolutely. I'm so thankful that you asked that question, because it's obviously it's very important for law enforcement to be very transparent and also educate the public on any type of tools that we're using. And I want to first start off with this. You know, we've been using automated license plate reading technology for the last 11 years here in Alachua County. And what we did a really, really poor job of was actually educating the community on what this technology is and what it is not. And so as we move forward, and we become so used to this technology in law enforcement, we thought nothing of, let's now go to a new system of stationary plate readers, right, where you put a pole up and you stick the plate reader on a public roadway. Well, as any curious citizen who understands, their rights to privacy and hey, what is that? And as they start digging in, they start asking a lot of questions, they start getting information, some of which is true, some of which is not, and it creates quite the storm. And so once the storm is there, right, as law enforcement, we're coming on the back end trying to help the public understand what is true and what is not. But in the public's eyes, well, you guys have used us forever and you've never said one word to us, so why should we believe you now? So I understand those sentiments. And so does the sheriff. And quite honestly, we have had a very strict policy for many years now related to license plate readers, the use of license plate readers. That technology, while it's an incredible enhancement to law enforcement, everything from we had an incident recently where an elderly lady was being put in as a silver alert. And before they could even put the silver alert out on the interstate roadways, license plate reading camera coming into our county had already caught her tag, notified us that she was missing out of Sarasota County, and we immediately were able to stop out with her and safely secure her until her family could get here from about 2.5 hours away. So, and those incidents happen all the time. Double homicide in Union County, within an hour we're behind the suspect because a license plate reader sees that he's coming into our county. Obviously, many in our community know how that end. We surround him with the SWAT team. He eventually takes his life, but he is no longer victimizing people anywhere in this county or in the surrounding counties.
One of the things that comes up when we have this discussion is if everything's on the up and up, then it becomes a privacy issue with how comfortable people are. But then you hear the stories, and I know they're anecdotal, but you hear stories of law enforcement or other officials that have access to these cameras to use them for things like stalking a girlfriend or an ex-wife. How can there be protections in place that would keep these systems from being abused?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's twofold, right? So the first part to that is that that is public knowledge for one specific reason, right? If you think about how the public came to know about any bad users or misusers, it's because clearly that law enforcement agency had some type of policy to audit or look into users. They identified that this person was misusing the system, and they then held them accountable by terminating them, oftentimes criminally charging them, and then being transparent and telling the media, this is what happened. And so for me, right, I'm thankful that those agencies clearly did the right thing, or else we would never know, right? Because if they covered it up, you wouldn't know about it. That's the first part. The second part is this. The law in the state of Florida, 100%, I think everyone can agree, is way too broad, right? The law basically says there's license plate readers and you can use them. As law enforcement, it doesn't dictate retention rates. It doesn't dictate, criminal policy if you're caught with misuse. It doesn't dictate a lot of parameters, right? So the law enforcement agencies were kind of scrambling to look for best practices. I can tell you, not only was our policy really tight, and when I say really tight, I mean you have to have three different criteria to even do a search, or else the system just it won't search anything. And we have automated audit alert systems that we've been using. So even if we don't catch something, oftentimes the system will catch anomalies like, hey, why did they search the same tag, three or four times within a 10-minute period? Hey, why are they trying to find information on this tag that's greater than 30 days old? And so we immediately, oftentimes we're auditing every day, and then we have audit policies in place related to a user has to have all these different certifications that aren't required by the law, but they're required by us for us to even cut on access for them. We have gone a step further with all of this, and we've tightened it even more. Now we have already cut on that we won't even share outside the state of Florida. So unless it's Florida law enforcement, we will not share any data. We've cut down retention to 14 days. If there's no lawful or no criminal issue within 14 days, it's going to automatically purge out of the system. And then we've made it so that sergeants and above are the only people who can actually, what we call hot list. So if someone went missing, they could place the tag in there to alert us if we had a felony vehicle, something like that. But we're only going to allow that now, sergeant and above. And we're only going to allow a specific group of deputies to even have search capabilities. So we're really tightening the reins on this thing. I will say, though, the sheriff agrees that with leaving this technology in place where it's allowed. And so we obviously know that DOT, and I think this is temporary, but DOT has removed permitting or revoked permitting on the state roadways. We're going to abide by that. But in the other areas where we're the technology is extremely beneficial, extremely useful, we're going to continue it, and we're going to hold people accountable. It is a level 5 violation if you search inappropriately and potentially criminally charged. A level 5 for us basically means you're headed towards termination.
Well, as you know, in law enforcement, you know that HIPAA regulations when it comes to medical records and stuff is a very strict kind of scenario as well. Yet you do have a lot of people that can access the system, but what they utilize in most hospital situations is you have a unique login, very unique just to you as a person, so that if you are found to be searching for something that you have no cause or reason to, let's just say you heard a famous person was in the hospital and you go digging through their charts and their medical records, that can come back on you because they'll know specifically who exactly accessed the information, and then in that case they would be terminated. So do you have the same kind of a system where it's a unique login? They know keystrokes and who's on the computer at any given time?
Yes, sir, we do. So every single user who has allowed access to the system has a unique user ID and password. And so no two users are the same. And there's also criteria, right? The user has certain access. So we have like a toggle button system. So let's say that you're a user who you're not allowed to search based upon our policy, but you can still get alerts. We would toggle it so that you have no search capability, but you're still allowed alert capability. Kind of like the hot list thing I explained. Here soon, when the new policy finishes approval, deputies will not be able to hot list. So when if a deputy tried to hot list, it would be turned off. It'd be inaccessible, but the supervisor could do it.
So, well, really, thanks for covering it so thoroughly.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the state is going to put these things on hold. They're going to come up with guardrails, probably very similar to what the sheriff's office is already doing in Alachua County. And then everybody else will, you know, play catch up. Look, technology gets ahead of laws. Let's rectify that and still have good tools for law enforcement without the abuse part of it. Captain Chris Sims, PIO for Alachua County Sheriff's Office. Thanks again. Great to see you.
Great to see you, Bob. Thank you.
All right, folks. It is, what do you approach, 9:17 on the Bob Rose Show, about 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. What happened in Jordan? Did some of our aircraft get damaged? This is some late breaking news. We'll dig into it a little further next on 97.3 The Sky. Happy Thursday. Good morning. Welcome to it. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 9:21. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of your top stories, Iranian missiles have damaged multiple U.S. aircraft based in Jordan during a ballistic missile barrage on Tuesday. This, according to a senior U.S. official, they said one A-10 Warthog was struck and about eight F-15 jets were lightly damaged. And the damage was first reported by CBS News. An American official previously told Fox the attack was ineffective and all U.S. personnel in the country were accounted for. Iran's response was ineffective in the face of integrated air and missile defenses. Iran fired missiles toward Jordan. American forces have 100% accountability at all locations in Jordan. Jordan's military said that its air defenses intercepted 18 of 20 ballistic missiles launched toward its territory. The remaining two missiles fell in unpopulated areas with no casualties were being reported. So some damage was done. They call it light damage. That would make me assume that these things are quite repairable. That would be a good thing. But the Iranians, the regime, still presents a real threat. President Donald Trump said the U.S. is winning its conflict, however, with Iran, suggested renaming the Strait of Hormuz after himself, the Strait of Trump. I think I'm pretty sure I gave him that idea.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was listening. Oh, yeah, he was paying attention.
This goes back to pretty early on in the issue with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said that the U.S. military will continue targeting Iranian oil tankers in retaliation for attacks on American warships and in a bid to squeeze Tehran economically. So, yeah, if we do ever get to a point where, you know, it's going to go back to business somewhat close to usual,
right,
shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
The Iranians aren't going to have a lot of opportunities to transport their own oil.
Well, and I think that whole going back and forth with the whole rockets and everything, I think that's what's got Shep's attention, and he's got a question about that.
Go ahead, Shep. You're on the air. Good morning.
Well, I'm kind of an amateur historian. You know, I'm not trying to be critical here of our president or our military. If we have devastated their military, we've devastated their manufacturing, we've devastated their oil industry, where are they getting the missiles and the drones to continue this fight? I mean, bear in mind, I'm only a civilian on the outside looking in to quote Will Rogers. I only know what I read in the papers. Now, one more thing as a matter of historical perspective. Many historians will say that during World War II, Nazi Germany, the Battle of the Bulge, their industry was devastated. And they were fighting a lot of that war towards the end with captured Allied equipment. Okay, I don't know how this is going on. Maybe someone out there can explain this to me. And please, use small words. I'm only a humble high school and trade school graduate. See you later, guys.
Yeah, but you're smarter than the average bear. Now, we appreciate you, Shep. It is interesting. That's the $64,000 question. Have we Have we stopped everything that could possibly get into Iran coming from, let's just say, China, for instance?
Mm-hmm.
No. No, and part of that is, look, it's a nation of 93, 94 million people. Unless you want to literally starve the population out, okay, you're going to have to allow, therefore, goods and services and things like that to be, to have, you know, to, for business to go on, for people to be fed, for one thing. And could that be used as a way to, you know, hide arms or anything else coming in? I would imagine that could be part of the scenario. I believe we did stop a ship from coming there that did have arms on it. That we know of. So, yeah, we've locked it up on the seaside pretty well. Via land, I think that's probably a much more difficult proposition, mm-hmm. you know. It's hard enough to, you know, when we were trying to patrol our own borders, let alone, you know, in Iran. It's a large country. We sometimes forget about that.
Yeah, it is.
But, yeah, they're, if we're knocking out all these capabilities, how do they keep coming up with them? It doesn't mean that we've gotten to all of their facilities. We hit them when we catch wind of it. We target those things. We've knocked a bunch of them out. But are they still producing drones? I don't know what the official word on that is, but I believe that they at least have one facility where they're still getting some made, and they can make them very quickly and very cheaply. So, yeah, that is a problem. You put the squeeze on to the best you very can. But again, unless you want to do an old school campaign of starving the entire nation out, you're going to have to allow for some stuff to go and to have the manpower to stop every single thing coming in. I don't know if that's even feasible.
Well, and then you've got the concern, if we, as to use that quote, starve them out, does that turn the people against America, the ones who are being, you know, crushed under their own government, unfortunately? Are they basically told, well, that's what America is doing to you, not us?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that kind of propaganda mm-hmm. and rhetoric is, they're getting bombarded with
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
But the vast majority of them know better. Look, they've been fighting this regime for 47 years, so they know, and they don't like it. And they know that we are on the other side of that, and it could result in them being free, or at least free of this regime. They're very much rooting for us. As you yeah. know, you've got friends that have mm-hmm. lived there and stuff, so... You know, they're even saying things like, hey, if there's got to be collateral damage, of course, we don't want that. But if that's what it takes to get rid of this regime, then let's do it. Like, let's get it on.
Yep.
So we've got that. President Trump giving a speech last night in Texas, getting the crowd fired up. He's going to do it again tonight. This is like a presidential convention. But it's done on a midterm year. It's the first of its kind. He wants to get the folks fired up. And he wants to also try to paint a picture of what life would be like if the Democrats get back in charge. I'll share some of that with you coming up. Also, things that make you smile. That's in about 15, 20 minutes. Right now, though, you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Happy, happy Thursday. Here we are. Good morning and welcome. It's 9:37 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And thanks. Thanks for supporting what we do. We really appreciate it. President Trump, man, he was a big hit last night. Going to do another speech again tonight. J.D. Vance is going to do that. And the president laid out a whole bunch of stuff. He laid out things about maybe a $5,000 dividend for all Americans if, you know, the Republicans can take the House and the Senate, keep the House and Senate. But he also laid out other things. He talked about the drug prices are way down. He talked about the strong borders, the lower taxes, all these things that are beneficial and have happened due to his leadership. Things could change, though. And he did. He wanted to kind of lay it out to people. He said in 55 days, Americans will be going to the polls in one of the most important elections in our country's history. Your vote will decide whether our country stumbles at the starting gate of the next 250 years or surges forward and never, ever looks back. I like surging forward.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
He said, we hand America's future to the radical left Democrats, and our nation will spend the next decade just getting back on its feet. It will be a tragedy. Vote Republican, and we will leave the world in our dust for generations to come. There'll be nothing like it. I agree with him, and I think the way he is laying that out is great. Of course, it's coming from him, so the mainstream media, heck, they're not going to allow him to amplify that message any more than he already can on his own.
Oh, no, no.
But it is, look, there's a stark difference. And here's the thing, that he may actually be painting a prettier picture for the Democrats than what reality might actually bring. He talked about, we would spend the next decade trying to get back on our feet. I don't think that's the case. I think it could be a lot longer than that, and here's why. You know, as soon as Democrats take charge, they're going to get rid of that rule in the Senate, so you just need a simple majority. And they will have that, you know, if and when they take power. They're going to not look back. They're going to pack the Supreme Court. They're going to probably undo some of the safety mechanisms that at least attempt to make our elections better and safer. They're going to do everything in their power to maintain power and to gain even more power. Remember, their mindset is they think they're doing you a favor. You're too dumb to really self-govern. You need them to tell you how to spend your money, what to spend your money on. You need them to tell you, you know, climate change is real and it was caused by SUVs. You know what I mean? And so they come at it with a sense of self-righteousness, believing that, you know, they have the best of ideas. And they think, well, even if we have to use deception to get our way, it's for their own good, quote unquote. That's kind of how many of them actually think.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at a very important juncture. Are we going to let China basically win the AI race? Remember, China has got their money is in the pockets of politicians, high up administrators at universities. China is really, they're smart.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at it and they said, where's the weakness? How can we work our way in? How can we wield more influence than normally a country would be allowed to? And they've done it. They've worked it. They've manipulated it. And it's hard to stop that flow of money once it's coming in. And yes, it'll take shape in different forms. It's not always like, you know, they're handing you a rolled up newspaper with bundles of $100 bills in the middle, you know, old school covert action. No, it's insidious nonetheless. And it's been happening for a while, and it's only getting worse. There's a lot of people that they're bought and paid for, basically, by the Chinese Communist government. That's the truth.
Sad but true. Yep.
Rooting them out, getting them out, that is going to be a difficult proposition. Getting the influence of China to not spread, in fact, to try to make it detract. Now, we've got some good people that have been working hard on it, like in Florida. We're not going to let Chinese conglomerates own chunks of land, you know, whether it's farmland or anything else. We're not going to do that, which is a great move. We need to have more of that action. It needs to take place also on the federal level. These are matters of national security, and that's not hyperbole. This is for real. This asymmetrical war. They're not joking around. They're not kidding. They have a game plan. They're following their plan. Their plan may take years, but if the Democrats get in charge, that is going to push their timeline up big time for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of like our Commissioner of Ag, Wilton Simpson, says food security is national security. And the fact that the Chinese own a couple of our major meat suppliers, I see that as a concern already.
Why in this modern era where we have so many ways to clean and make sure that, you know, nothing gets, you know, biologically messed up, disease free, all the things that we have technology wise that we've implemented. But yet still we have all kinds of outbreak of E. coli, Listeria. Yep. Every day there's warnings about something else that has been hit. Is this all just happenstance? It all just happens to be coming at us on a far more regular basis? Or is there something at work here? You know, it sounds conspiratorial if I keep going, but, you know, we've had major food processors.
Yep.
I've had, you know, random fires, things like that. There are people at work. I don't know if you want to call them sleeper cells. I don't know how you want to, you know, try to identify that. But I just feel like things are happening, putting us slowly in a more precarious situation. And just one of them being food security. So, yeah, absolutely. And the president, he's trying to, you know, paint. Who has been the toughest on China ever in our history?
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be. It's got to be President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell you? When he took on trade imbalances, I mean, he said, you're not going to win against the Chinese, but he did. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Chinese, they don't like to be embarrassed. They don't like to be beaten. And when they were, just happened that this virus escaped from a lab that just happened to be in China. And it just happened to completely crush our economy.
Uh-huh.
Huh. It just kind of happened, didn't it?
And you don't believe in coincidences, though.
No, I mean, it's time to take the blinders off, man, and quit pussyfooting around the fact that, you know, China is our enemy.
Right.
Now, I get it. We can't just all of a sudden say, China, we're done with you. No trade, no nothing. I get it. But, man, we need to get off, you know, the teat. And the president has done more than anybody to help do that.
Mm-hmm.
And who made it go in the other direction for the most part? A lot of it had to do with Democrats and offshoring jobs. They were supposed to be the party looking out for the working class, but they weren't, were they?
Mm-mm.
Oh, and Republicans played some roles in that, too. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, who's bringing jobs back to America? Trump is. Who's bringing manufacturing back? Trump is. Who is trying to limit our ties with China? Trump is. Can't people see the value of that and get past their Trump derangement syndrome? This midterm election, it is critical. And the shape of the country moving forward is going to have a lot to do with what happens in this election, what, like 54 days from now?
Absolutely.
You know, and we've heard it before. Oh, this election of our lifetime, this election of our lifetime. Well, as things grow more and more precarious, those statements ring truer and truer. It doesn't change in the next election. Maybe the, you know, maybe the most critical at that juncture as well. You know what we need, though?
What's that?
We need to kind of flip the script a little bit. We need upbeat, positive thoughts. We are still alive. We're breathing. This is still an awesome nation, and we are blessed. And with that, I bring you things that make you smile, upbeat, positive thoughts that you share with us, we share with you, brought to you by My Dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in now with things that make you smile. Come on, 877-975-9825. It's coming up next, things that make you smile. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it is 9:52 right now. It's time for things that make you smile, upbeat positive thoughts you share with us, 877-975-9825. Call in now. It's brought to you by My Dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. Ariana, what's making you smile?
Yes, good morning, Bob and Greg. What makes me smile is listening to the Bob Rose Show every morning. I start my day listening to you all.
We are blessed to have listeners like you. Thank you. And we appreciate
the
compliment.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
Y'all have a good day.
Hey, you have an awesome day. Thank you so much. Let's go to Phil. What's making you smile?
What's making me smile, we spent the month of August in Boone, North Carolina, and downtown parking, they had these parking meters, and I couldn't figure out how to pay them. And lo and behold, a younger college student comes up to me. He puts his credit card, swiped it somehow, and he saw my license plate said retired Navy, and he says, thank you for your service. Southern hospitality, and it was as is best. That's what made me smile.
And yeah, and that's a good thing. I love that. Nice. That makes me smile as well. Let's go to Brother Andrew. What's making you smile?
Hey, thank you very much, Bob, for taking my call. And it's concerning the Southwest 16th Avenue eastbound traffic flow as people are leaving out of town or going to school. And the connection on Southwest 6th Street, I got a hold of visionzero@gainesvilleflorida.gov. Anybody concerned about that, they did let me know that concerning the bureaucracies covering those two different avenues of approach, they're looking into it, and they should have an answer soon. Thank you.
Hey, all right. Well, that'll make a lot of people smile. Let's go to Larry. What's making you smile?
Good morning. Well, my wife and I just recently celebrated 52 years of marriage. I met her in northern Japan, and Vietnam War was raging. She was one of 10 women on a base with 30,000 guys. Life was so much simpler back then. We only had two sexes we had to concentrate on, not six, not five, not four.
Good stuff. Congratulations.
I'd say you enjoy it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You deserve it, absolutely. And thanks to everybody who contributed to Things That Make You Smile, brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and my dentist, Dr. Samantha Annis. But don't go away. Coming up next, it is The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beckwith's Guns and Range in Micanopy. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beckwith Guns and Range in Micanopy. Well, you've probably heard of Pickaxe Mountain. That facility in Iran is believed to be where they are still working on a nuclear program, allegedly moving uranium centrifuges and components to the underground base. The difficulty is getting to these facilities that could be 300 feet underground. And to that I say, we just need to build a bigger bunker buster. And that, my friends, is The Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Harry Beckwith Guns and Range in Micanopy. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have yourself a great, safe day. See ya.